Again, Holy Father, you be the King and Sovereign of this time together. Guide whatever words come out of my mouth. Let your will be done. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your blessings. And we ask you to bless this time, bless this message and this service. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's see if I can do this. Let's see. Okay, good. It's already up there. So last week, we talked a lot about Peter and all the things that he went through. We learned that God determines the time that we have on this earth. God had determined that it was time for James to be done on this earth. His mission was over, but yet he freed Peter from prison and certain death. So God is the one who determines this. Jesus, in fact, says that he was talking about John and said, you know, you're going to die in these different things. He was prophesying exactly what was going to happen, and he was talking to Peter, and Peter says, well, what about him? You know, what's going to happen with him? And Jesus specifically says, well, what is that to you? What if I determine that he lives forever? It means nothing to you. I determine when things happen. He doesn't tell us when or gives us a heads up, so every opportunity we need to be about, again, our Father's business. Our natural reaction to God's provision in our lives should be praise and thankfulness. Near immediate, thank you, God, for what you have done for me. Also, the point of every believer's life is to think less of yourselves and more of others. And we should be about making disciples and not converts. Because converts are only good for numbers. Disciples are good for the kingdom. And then lastly, we need to share our lives with one another, good or bad. Those bonds strengthen our togetherness and our ability to come together in the name of Christ Jesus. Because a healthy family sees each other more than once a week. So today, we're going to get into today's message. We are taking a break from Acts because I hate to tell you this, but the holidays are right around the corner. We have Thanksgiving coming up this Thursday. We've got Christmas coming up. We have all of the different things. We have New Year's. And so today I wanted to go over a few things because with the holidays comes a lot of stress. There's a lot of stuff going on, and a lot of people deal with a lot of stress, a lot of depression, a lot of issues. And I got to thinking about this because especially now, we're living sometimes what seems to be uncertainty. I mean, if you talk about inflation and politics and elections and wars and all of these things going on, some of us might be wondering what it is that we should be thankful for. Because uncertainty brings fear, and that's what I wanted to talk today about. There's three things: fear, trust, and thankfulness. So let's get started with fear. It's a great sermon for Thanksgiving, right? So, let me tell you a little bit more about me. I actually have a few phobias, and no, not one of them is the snow, at least yet. Although it's starting to climb the list as we get closer and closer to it. But no, there's a few fears that I have. The first one is acrophobia, if I am saying that correct. Oops. Acrophobia is the fear of heights. I hate heights. Even though I'm 6'3", I can't stand heights. As a matter of fact, we lived really, really close to Six Flags Magic Mountain where we're from, and Danielle banned me from going on roller coasters because I embarrassed her. I scream like a little girl, and I'm not afraid to admit that. So fear of heights. There's another one that a lot of people don't know about, which is really weird because, you know, we live close to the coast, but it's called thalassophobia. That's fear of the ocean. I don't know what's in there. We have only explored 5% of the ocean. Who knows what on earth? Cthulhu could be in there. I don't know. I'm not going in there. I will stay on the beach and wave at everybody as they're in the water and hope sharks don't come. That's one. And lastly, this is what every good Catholic and former Catholic has, which is senescophobia. And I don't think I'm saying that right. Senescophobia. Fear of nuns.
Everybody has that.
Yes, but when you've personally dealt with nuns, you know how terrifying they are. But in all seriousness, other than nuns, I had to look up these pictures too, and I don't know why I tormented myself looking up these pictures. But in all seriousness, we all have fear. Everybody has some kind of fear, physical, emotional, psychological, real, not real. We all have some kind of fear. Sometimes we have legitimate reasons for the fears. Sometimes it's because of past trauma, the way we grew up. But sometimes, more and more, we have a reason to be concerned, uncertain, and even fearful at all aspects of our life. And it can seriously affect our lives. Fear of losing our jobs, fear of the economic and political state of the country, fear of the moral degradation of our country. Fear can affect us in ways that we don't really think about. I read an article in Psychology Today, and it specifically says this. Nothing makes us more uncomfortable than fear. We have so many. Fear of pain, disease, injury, failure, not being accepted, missing an opportunity, being scammed, to name a few. Fear invokes the flight or fight syndrome, and our first reaction is always to flee back to our comfort zone. If we don't know the way back, we are likely to follow whoever shows us a path. Fear is a very powerful motivator. It guides us in our actions and our decisions more than we even sometimes think. And the biggest problem is fear is a very powerful manipulator. Again, that last line, we are likely to follow whoever shows us a path. If we were afraid, whoever shows us some kind of path, we're more willing to follow them. And it can control every aspect of our lives. Fear tactics have been used for centuries because fearful people are actually a lot more controlled. First of all, government. Governments have used fear to bend people to their will for decades, centuries, and millennia. Whole regimes throughout history ruled with fear. Communist Russia, Communist China, Nazi Germany. And this may come as a shock to you, but our own government can do the same thing. Politicians will prey on our fears so that we will vote in their favor. Terrorism, viruses, the evils of the other side. If you elect me, I will stop that political group from taking power and destroying our country. I mean, we just went through an election season, so think of all those campaign ads that we were bombarded with, and you'll know all of this is true. The news. The news heavily affects our fears. Just watching it, there's plenty of reasons to be feared, to be afraid. This is another article I read. Oh, I didn't put it up there. News program uses a hierarchy of if it bleeds, it leads. Fear-based news program has two aims. The first is to grab the viewer's attention. In the news media, this is called the teaser. Second aim is to persuade the viewer that the solution for reducing the identified fear will be the news story. If a teaser asks, what is in your tap water that you need to know about, a viewer will more likely tune in to get the update information to ensure safety. The success of fear-based news relies on presenting dramatic anecdotes in place of scientific evidence, promoting isolated events as trends, depicting categories of people as dangerous and replacing optimism with fatalistic thinking. News conglomerates who want to achieve this use media logic by tweaking the rhythm, grammar, and presentation format of news stories to elicit the greatest impact. Did you know that some news stations work with consultants who offer fear-based topics that are pre-scripted, outlined with point-of-view shots, and have experts at the ready? This practice is known as stunting or just add water reporting. Often these practices present misleading information and promote anxiety in the viewer. So news, I hate to tell you this, not everything out there, not everything on the internet is true. I know that's a shock. Another one, as you've seen, marketing. Marketing and advertisement constantly will use fear to try to sell a product. While I was doing research online, I found this article that was titled, How to Ethically Use Fear in Your Marketing. Companies have experts that meticulously research how they can feed into our worries and anxieties so we'll buy something. Most of it is based on the idea that unless you have whatever it is that they're selling, your life sucks, it will always suck, and you are constantly a loser. You're not a real man unless you drive a Chevy Silverado and the brand new 2024 Chevy Silverado. Kids, your parents don't love you unless they get you the new PlayStation 5. The world is full of reasons to be afraid. And my point today, don't take this away, my point is not if you're afraid, then you're sinning against God. My point today is the God you serve bigger or smaller than the world that keeps trying to make you afraid? Because the problem comes up when we're motivated and manipulated by fear. When we let fear control us, we tend to make really, really bad choices. It was the fear of God not fulfilling his promise that led Abraham to have a child with the slave woman Hagar. And we still see the consequences of that decision to this day in the Middle East. It was the fear of so-called giants in the land that led 10 out of the 12 spies of Israel to stop people from entering and taking the promised land. And that caused 40 years of wandering in the desert. It was fear that led Peter to deny Christ 3 times on the night he was arrested and tried unjustly. But here's the thing, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. God has delivered us and armed us against the spirit of fear and given us the spirit of power or the courage and resolution to encounter difficulties and dangers. He's given us the love of God, the spirit of the love of God, which will carry us through so much opposition that we may meet and set us above the fear of man and any hurt that they can do to us. He gives us the spirit of a sound mind or a quietness of mind and a peaceful enjoyment of ourselves. If you have a sound mind, you can clearly think. If you can clearly think, God can move in your life and you can be able to determine what needs to be done. For we can so often discourage ourselves and let our fear run wild with anxieties and worry, which a sober, solid thinking mind would remove and easily answer. But it all boils down to this. Who do you trust? What have you put your trust in? Who have you put your trust in? Speaking of used to being Catholic, I had a coworker. She was also a former Catholic. And she said when she became a Christian, she went throughout the whole entire house getting rid of all the rosaries she had put everywhere. She put rosaries in the cradle of her kids' place. She put it above the door, she put it in bedrooms, she put it in drawers. And she said that because of this, you know, they were blessed rosaries, so she felt safe. She put her trust in these little objects to make her safe. She said when she became a believer and actually read the scriptures and realized that God is much bigger than a rosary, she had to go through the entire house and get rid of them all. I used to do the same thing, only I had a crucifix. I still have the crucifix because I've had it since I was a child. But I would sleep with it because if I had that crucifix, I was safe. I put my trust in an object. Where your trust is greatly determines how you act and feel. Are you putting your trust in your friends? Your family, your spouse, your preferred political party. So what Jeremiah 17:5-6 says. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit it the parched places in the wilderness, and a salt land which is not inhabited. Why do you think God would talk about not putting your trust in people? Because every single one of them are human beings that can fail you. Every single one of us has a fallen nature, and every single one of us makes mistakes. At some point, whether something small or something big, the trust you placed in someone will be broken. It's not a matter of if, but a matter of when. Every single person you put your trust into will eventually fail you. What about your job, your status, your money? Can we really put our trust in that? Proverbs 11:28, he who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. You know, I hope the last couple of years have shown us just how fickle money can come and go. You know, I again worked in California for a program, and I was actually part of a union that told me when I first started working there that because you are a part of a union, you will never get laid off. We are not allowed to lay you off. COVID hit, and they laid us off within the first month. We also lived in an oil industry town, and if you understand oil, you understand feast or famine. There's a huge boom, and then there's a huge bust. I've had so many friends who are making hundreds of thousands of dollars doing overtime and working and getting hired in all these oil places, and then when the price of oil tanked, they all lost their jobs. Wait another 2 years, the oil prices went up, they get their jobs again, and then lose them again. Remember, just as Jesus said and quoted, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from God. Everything comes from him anyways. Our jobs, our money, everything. Heaven and earth will eventually pass away, but his word will remain. The true believer is at the branch of the living vine. When those that take root in the world wither, those who are grafted into Christ shall be fruitful. Psalm 91:1-2, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my trust and refuge. If you acknowledge God and trust in him, you will find peace and rest that makes no sense to anyone else. Because those who don't know God or acknowledge him as God only know to put their trust in finite things, so they are constantly anxious and afraid. Our lives as Christians ought to be the complete contrast of that. Holy and securely rely on God's power, wisdom, provision, goodness, and guidance. We must believe that he's able to do what he will, wise to do what is best, and good according to his promise to do what is best for us, if we love and serve him. And then that's when we live a life of thanksgiving. Ephesians 5, 19 through 20. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all the things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You want a religious ritual that we Christians need to do? That's it. Speak to one another, sing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and thanking God through Christ Jesus everything that he's given to us. You know, Danielle and I, we recently, I think in September, just bought the house that we're in. And we were really excited and really awesome, but it's also really kind of like scary and nerve-wracking, especially when you go to finalize it. Because you go in and there's a stack of papers like this big. And there's all this legal jargon and all these numbers and all these different things that you have to do. And it's really kind of like intimidating. And eventually, as we're going about this, I'm like, oh my gosh, what on earth have I done? What if this happens? What if that happens? Oh my gosh, how am I going to blah, 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 blah. And I just kept praying to God, oh my goodness, please help. Please help this to be okay. Yeah. But in the midst of that, what I felt he said to me, which I thought was really interesting, he goes, hey, I gave you that house. You want to maybe thank me for it?
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Oops. And he's like, yeah, I gave that house to you. You just go around and thank me for it. Okay. So I went around the house and I was like, thank you, God, for this house. Thank you for everything that you've given me. Thank you all that you provided for me. I really like this house. Thank you so much that you've taken care of me. Thank you that you are going to take care of me. And then all the fear and the panic just started going away. Because the trick was I was acknowledging who God is and where everything I have come from. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Everything we have, from our houses, our jobs, the very breath in our lungs, are a gift from him. And unlike everything else, he is constant. Everything else will change and disappear and will disappoint us. He is faithful and good. He does not waver, and he will never disappear from our lives. He doesn't just wave us on after a time and say, okay, good luck, have fun, I'm kind of done. Go do your thing. He strengthens us and equips us by the power of his word and Holy Spirit. And he never leaves, and he never gets tired of us. He's the only one we can actually rely on. So always remember to offer thanksgiving to him. Offer your sacrifice of praise and acknowledge him as the source of everything that you have. So I know life in general, let alone living for Christ, can be scary at times. It does seem like more and more we have opposition and more uncertainty and more problems. There are times when it seems like the world is just falling apart. Christians often will look at the world and see a scary, immoral disaster of a wasteland. And some of us, our reaction is to retreat and hide behind our walls of safety and security and comfort. But that is not the life God has called us to live. Take heart, because Christ has given us the victory already. He has overcome the world and he secured our place with God. Even be encouraged by those who came before us and faced struggles, suffering, and terrifying situations. But because they didn't turn away from the faith, they were able to endure it and overcome it through Christ Jesus. There's a litany of things that happened to the believers in Hebrews. It was like they were stoned, they were cast out, they were starved, they were killed, they were destitute, they were this, they were that. But God still provided for them, and they still put their faith in Christ as they lived for him, so that again, 2,000 plus years later, the rest of us can hear the gospel. We cannot allow fear to infect our minds and allow us to take our trust away from God. We're called to be bold and offer up our living sacrifices to God openly and without shame. We cannot retreat in our little nests of safety that so easily entangle us, especially because it's all fake and won't work anyways. Any little bubble you create for yourself will be easily burst. Because again, you're putting your trust in something else other than the God of the universe. If you have given your life to Christ and the Holy Spirit dwells in you, then you have the power to face this lost world, just like so many of our spiritual ancestors before us. So if you know God, you put your faith in Christ, then we need to act like it. When the world seems like it's falling apart and everyone else is running around freaking out, wondering why we're not following suit, boldly proclaim the same thing as Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. We've probably heard this. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God is the Lord, the creator of the heaven of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Again, the question is, if you are having anxiety, fear, problems, that you just can't sleep at night, who or what is the God you are serving? Is he bigger or smaller than the world? Because if he's smaller than the world, then the world is really, really scary, and you have every reason to be afraid. Every corner, every shadow is a danger to you. But if God is bigger than the world, then it becomes that of a marble. And if you constantly see, one of the things of why we thank God for everything that we have and all that he's done is because it's not just for him. He's not just like some narcissist who wants to hear all the good things that he's done. That's really a lot of times for your benefit, to remember who he is. I'm going through this really hard time. I'm really afraid. I just bought a house and signed my life away to the bank. But God, you've taken care of me before. You've brought me to this point, and you gave this to me. And you're bigger than this. Remember the one that we served. He's Alpha, he's Omega, the beginning and the end. He declares the end from the beginning. Remember his power and his might. Remember that he conquered death. Remember that no matter how grim things can be, he's overcome the world, and through him we are more than conquerors. Live out your faith boldly. Don't let fear manipulate you or rob you of your peace. And keep your eyes on Christ and trust in him always. And remember to be grateful for all that he's done, because we have so much to be thankful and grateful for. Last verse. Psalm 95, 1 through 3. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all kings. Church, remember again, you know, idolatry doesn't just mean that you sleep with a crucifix or that you pray to another entity. It dwells in who you put your trust into, who you look for all your provision. And anxiety comes when we don't put that trust in the only one who's given it to us. Remember to keep going. And in this time of thanksgiving, even if, again, I always say this, if you have nothing else to be thankful for, in the end, the one true God came down, made flesh, lived our kind of lives, can now sympathize with us because he dealt with living in this world. He taught us the correct way to live for God. And then not only that, when we were still hostile and enemies to him, allowed himself to be punished for our iniquities, to be beaten on our behalf, to take all of that punishment that I deserved and placed it on himself, and then was crucified and died. If you have nothing else to be thankful for, as though God has not given you anything else, which I doubt, that is the one thing in your life that you can be thankful for. You and I do not have to face hell. We do not have to face separation from God. And it's not because of anything that you and I have done. Again, that is the gratitude and miraculous thing about our God. It wasn't that we signed a petition and put up the white flag and hope that maybe God will hear us, and then he sent his son. While we were still sinners, he sent him to die for us. If nothing else, live out your gratitude in that and realize how much he has saved us from it. Let's pray, and we'll have the worship team come up. Again, Holy Father, there's not enough words in this universe that could ever express our gratitude for you. Our gratitude that we've been reconciled through Christ Jesus to have a relationship with you, that we don't have to face condemnation, damnation, and hell because of what your Son has done on the cross. Father, we acknowledge that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that everything that we have comes from you. Holy Father, we are so thankful. Help us to live our lives not just during Thanksgiving, not just during this nation's holiday, but in all aspects of our Christian life. Every single day, thank you, Father, for what you've given us, what you've done, and who you are. Help us, Father, to live out that life of gratitude so that your light can shine through us and people can see you and not us. See not our fears, not our anxieties, but the fact that there's something within us that gets rid of all that. Thank you, Father, for all of your blessings. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.